This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا أردنا أن نهلك قرية أمرنا مترفيها ففسقوا فيها فحق عليها القول فدمرناها تدميرا وكم أهلكنا من القرون من بعد نوح وكفى بربك بذنوب عباده خبيرا بصيرا من كان يريد العاجلة عجلنا له فيها ما نشاء لمن نريد ثم جعلنا له جهنم يصلاها مذموما مدحورا ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا كلن نمد هؤلاء وهؤلاء من عطاء ربك وما كان عطاء ربك محظورا انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا لا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر فتقعد مذموما مخذولا.
Inshallah, we're starting today from ayah number 16 of Bani Israel. In the last ayah, we discussed in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبَعَثَ رَسُولًا. We don't punish until we send a prophet, alayhi salam. So Allah sent prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, to people who guided them, warned them, told them what was right, what was wrong. And then if they did not believe, then He sent the punishment. And this is what is the first ayah, the message that the next ayah indicates, which we're going to start from today. Allah says, وَإِذَا أَرَدَنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً. When we intend to destroy a village, village means dwelling, town, city, country, whatever it is. Whenever we intend to destroy a place, what do we do? أَمَرْنَا مُطْرَفِيهَا. We order the mutraf of the town. Mutraf, the literal translation of it is, the person, and again, this shows the depth of the Arabic language, that it's one word, but it holds a whole sentence in meaning. Mutraf means that person who has been bestowed wealth, he's given wealth, and because of the wealth, it gets to his head, and he becomes arrogant, and he becomes disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the meaning of mutraf is contained. All of that meaning is contained in the word mutraf. Okay? A person who is given wealth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then that wealth pushes him to become disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pushes him to become arrogant. So this is mutraf. So we command the people who are mutrafeen, what do we command them? If we look at the wording, it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to do bad. أَمَرْنَا مُطْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. And they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that village. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلِ. And then the proof is confirmed. Proof is confirmed means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's proof to justify punishment is confirmed. فَدَمَّرْنَهَا تَدْمِيرًا. And then we obliterate them. So what does this mean? The wording, like I said, it looks like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we command them to do bad. But this is not what it means. What it actually means is, أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا. We order them to do good. فَعَصَوْا. They disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then punishes them. This is what the actual meaning is. So the prophets are sent, they order these people to do good, they order them to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they forbid them from evil, they disobey, and then that disobedience results in the proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants or needs for them to be, for the punishment to be justified against them. That proof is given by their actions, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then obliterates them. There's another qira'ah of this. If, as you know, there are different qira'ah that are revealed. The Quran was revealed in different qira'ah and different dialects. One of those qira'ah is أَمَّرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا. أَمَّرْنَا means that we make the mutrafeen that I just mentioned, we make them the leaders. We make them the people who are in charge, who are in command. And then when that happens, then obviously what's going to happen is the followers are also going to be disobedient. Okay, as the leaders are, if they are allowing adultery, if they're allowing alcohol, if they're allowing the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that country, so then what's going to happen? The followers are also going to take that. They're going to accept that because, you know, freedom, fulfilling the desires, fulfilling the lust, eating what you want, drinking what you want. So this is something that every human inclines towards. But if you put restrictions, then the human does not incline towards that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes these people that are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in charge, then obviously the subordinates also become disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when everybody is disobedient, then فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلِ, then the proof is complete. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can now come because they are deserving of it. فَدَمَّرْنَهَا تَدْمِيرًا. Then we destroy that village. So basically, prophets came and people either obeyed or disobeyed. Disobedience resulted in the obliteration and the destruction of towns and villages and countries. So this is what that verse is talking about. And basically the lesson for us is that we take and accept the message of the Prophet ﷺ and we put it into practice, and we make sure that we don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The punishment can come at any time. Do you know that last night there was an earthquake in Irving? 3:30 there was an earthquake. You know, it was like 2.9 or something on the Richter scale. You know, just a little bit more, you know, 5, 6, then we could have been in big trouble. Okay, so this is how long it takes. Nobody knows when that punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come. Allah says in the Quran that Allah can send that punishment at any time. That Allah says that أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. Do the dwellers of the villages and towns, do they think that, are they at peace that our punishment cannot come at night while they're sleeping? أَوَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Are the dwellers of the villages and the towns, are they at peace that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot come in the daytime while they're playing? So the punishment can come at any time and we won't even realize it. And this is actually an example of that, that, you know, it could have been much worse, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected us and prevented us from being tested in with a severe earthquake or a severe punishment. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful, and thank Allah that maybe there are some pious people in our community that prevents that thing from happening. So the ayah goes on to say, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ بَعْدِ نُوحٍ. How many generations did we destroy after Nuh alayhi salam? So why specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying after Nuh alayhi salam? The Mufassirin, they say that between Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam, there were 10 generations. And all of those 10 generations, according to a riwayat of Ibn Abbas, they were all obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, no punishment came between Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam. But after Nuh alayhi salam, when people started disobeying, then Nuh alayhi salam was sent as a prophet, and then he tried to call them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 950 years. And after 950 years, as the disobedience continued, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a punishment. And then punishments came to the people of Salih, Thamud, and the people of Shu'aib, and the people of Hud, the people of Lut, and so on and so forth. But these punishments continued for many generations after Nuh alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, how many people did we destroy? How many generations did we destroy after Nuh alayhi salam? And the address is here to the people of Quraysh. The people of Quraysh are being told that Nuh alayhi salam was a prophet. The people that came after him, they were prophets. But the prophet that you've been sent is the most important and the most noble and the highest of prophets. So if the people that disobeyed their prophets, they can be punished, then you, O people of Quraysh, you should not feel at ease that we're not going to be punished. Okay? Your disrespect and your disobedience of this prophet is more dangerous for you than the previous nations, and they were destroyed, so the same thing can happen to you. So وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ بَعْدِ نُوحٍ وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ بِذُنُوبِ عِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. It's enough for your Lord to be khabir and basir. To be khabir means all aware, and basir, ever watching. Okay, it's enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be khabir and basir for your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware, and what that means is his awareness, his knowledge, his seeing, and the fact that he is watching everything that you're doing. It means that this thing will not go unpunished. You will be punished in this world as well as the hereafter. So, O people of Quraysh, do not feel at ease that nothing's going to happen to you. This punishment can come to you at any time. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, in the next ayah, sets down a rule. And there are people in this world that are materialistic, and when we say materialistic, they focus only and only on the world. They want only worldly things. The worldly luxuries, the worldly houses, the worldly cars, the worldly women, and the worldly riches. Everything is just focused on that. It's, the materialism is basically the focus of their lives. And they have no place in their heart for the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lays down a rule in the next ayah. He says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ. Whoever wants the ajila, ajila, the literal meaning of ajila, is the immediate thing. The immediate thing meaning the something that comes quickly. Whoever wants the immediate thing, meaning the worldly life, عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ, we make it immediate for him. We give it to him immediately. But then, there's two conditions also. فِيهَا مَا نَشَىٰ. First of all, we give what we want. It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give what he wants. Everybody wants to be a millionaire. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even through that worldly and materialistic person, doesn't make him a millionaire. He will give him a portion of maybe what he wants. Okay? So, and that's one condition. Allah will give what he wants to that materialistic person. And also, لِمَن نُرِيدْ. He will give it only to whom he wants. It's not that every single person who wants to be materialistic and wants to forget the hereafter, he will attain everything in this world. That's not going to happen. There are many people who are materialistic and try their best. They do the lottery every week, okay? I want to be a millionaire, I want to get these millions. And they open business after business and jump from job to job to try to get a bigger salary and a bigger wage, but they never succeed in their lives. Okay, but materialism is at the forefront. Why? Because liman nurid, Allah still can withhold the wealth from whomever he wants. So we will give to whom we want, and we will take away from whoever we want. But whoever we give to in this world, it doesn't mean that he's successful. So these two conditions should be kept in mind. Because there are other ayat which don't have these conditions, but those ayat are explained by this ayah. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. Allah says, unconditionally in the other ayah, whoever wants the pasture of the akhirah, حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. وَمَنْ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. Whoever wants the pasture of this world, we will give him from it. And whoever wants the pasture of the hereafter, we'll give him from it. It's unconditional over there in those verses. But here there's a condition. We will give what we want, and we will give to whom we want. Okay, so not everybody is going to get it. And then on top of that, he was materialistic in this world, and because of that materialism, he forgot the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares for him, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمُ. We make for him the hellfire. Okay, because he didn't prepare for the hereafter. He wasn't focused on obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the hellfire has been prepared for him. يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَذْحُورًا. He will enter it blamed and condemned. مَذْمُوم, from the word ذَم, it means to be blamed, maligned, accused, and مَذْحُورًا, condemned, accursed. This is the situation that he's going to be in when he enters into the hellfire. So the person, he focused on the short and trivial life of this world, and he ended up with this huge punishment of the hereafter, which is going to be eternal. And all he needed to do was change his direction a little bit, focus on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the wealth, whatever has been written for him, it will still come to him, and he would get this place in the hereafter, which is mentioned in the next ayah. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Whoever wants the hereafter, there is a condition also. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, number one, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. He has to make an effort. Not just wanting the hereafter, oh, I want to go to Jannah, I want to please Allah, I want to get success in the hereafter, and you just think about it, and you have dreams and aspirations, that's not enough. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. You have to make an effort and show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are deserving of something in the hereafter. And on top of that, the second condition is you have to be in the state of iman. You have to have iman. Without iman, nothing is beneficial to you. Without conviction, without this faith, nothing is beneficial to you. Once Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who he saw a monk, and you know what a monk is like, right? A monk is basically a person who's left the worldly things, he's wearing rough clothes, and you can see he's basically self-imposed difficulty upon himself, maybe starvation, maybe he's not married, poverty. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who he started crying, and somebody asked him, why did you see the monk and start crying? He said, I remembered the verse in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, the people will come and appear on the Day of Judgment, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. They've made a lot of hard work, and because of that hard work, they are nasiba. They have exhausted themselves. But تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةٌ. But despite that, they are still going to enter into the hellfire. This is basically what I'm seeing in front of me now. I'm seeing this person, he's exhausted himself. You can think of these nuns, for example. You can think of the Buddhist monks. You can think of those Hindu, babas that go around living in the state of poverty. So many people, they have self-imposed these difficulties upon themselves, but all of it is for nothing. Because they're not going to get anything in the hereafter. They're still going to enter the hellfire. Why? Because they don't have iman. So Allah is saying here, whoever wants the hereafter, there are two conditions. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. He has to make an effort. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Then, and he has to be a believer. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. These people, their efforts are going to be appreciated. مَشْكُورًا, from the word shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be grateful for their efforts. They're going to be the ones that are mashkur. Mashkur means, shakir means the one who is grateful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the shakir or shakur, and they're going to be mashkur. They're going to be the ones who are the recipients of that gratitude from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that gratitude is what? Is going to be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and the Jannah and paradise in the hereafter. After that, Allah says, كُلَّن نُمِدُّ هَٰؤُلَاءِ وَهَٰؤُلَاءِ مِنْ أَعْطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. We've just mentioned two groups, right? One is materialistic and one is focusing on the hereafter. But Allah says that we give both of them. We give to both of them. كُلَّن نُمِدْ. We assist both of them. نُمِدْ from the word imdad, madad, help. Okay? We assist this one and this one. Both of these groups we give to. مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. From the عَطَاء, from the gifts of your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to everybody. He gives wealth, He gives food, He gives shelter, He gives clothing, He gives blessings. You know, for the person who's materialistic, he gets it. And the person who's not materialistic and he's striving for the hereafter, he also gets it. Okay, both of them are getting from the ata of your Lord. وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْظُورًا. The gift of your Lord, or the giving of your Lord, is not prevented from anybody. Allah is not going to prevent anyone from not receiving anything, even if a person is disobedient. You know, we think, you know, many people, they talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being wrathful and vengeful and God who punishes. Okay, Allah gives to and allows those people to breathe His air who don't believe in Him, who disbelieve in Him, who are atheists. And He also gives to those people that even worship the shaitan, na'udhu billah. He gives to them. He doesn't prevent from anyone from getting anything. So this is what this verse is saying. كُلَّن نُمِدْ. We give to these and these, both of them, هَاُولَى وَهَاُولَى. The person who's materialistic, the person who's not materialistic, the one who's focused on the hereafter, they both get. وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْظُورًا. The giving of your Lord is not prevented. Allah does not prevent a person from getting the gifts. انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض. Look how we have given a status of some over the other. So some are rich, some are poor, some are intelligent, some are not so intelligent, some are in high class jobs, some are in low class jobs, some are in middle class jobs, some are white collar workers, some are blue collar workers. So this differences in status, it is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If everybody, for example, became, you know, had PhDs, then who's going to do the labor work? Okay? There has to be somebody who's going to do the labor work. So there are people that are relegated to that kind of a position because of the needs of society and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that doesn't mean that that person who's doing labor cannot get a place in the hereafter and get a status in the hereafter. Nobody is deprived of a status in the hereafter as long as he works. So, in this worldly life, فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. They are given different statuses, different levels, and different types of wealth, and different types of occupations, different kinds of houses. We have these different statuses. But, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ أَكْبَرُ دَرَجَاتٍ وَأَكْبَرُ تَفْضِيلًا. The akhirah, the hereafter, those darajat, those statuses, are the greatest thing, and wa akbaru tafdila, and the biggest in terms of status. Okay, so if you want a status, focus on the status of the hereafter. It doesn't matter if you're flipping burgers in a fast food joint, or if you are the CEO of a company. The same, you know, the same thing you can strive for in the hereafter, as you know, the highest of the people. There's no limit to what you can achieve for the hereafter. This is what this ayah is telling us. It is mentioned in Sahihain, in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ahla darajati al-ula la yarawna ahla illiyin." There's going to be different statuses, right? So the people who are of high statuses, they will see the illiyin. There are in even higher statuses, they're going to see the Jannah. كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْكَوْكَبَ الْعَابِرَ فِي أُفُقِ السَّمَاءِ. Just like you see a star that is passing by in the horizon of the sky, you see it with your eyes, these people of Jannah will be seeing the إِلِّيِّينَ just like these stars. That's a Jannah. That's a Jannah of the person who are the إِلِّيِّينَ. So that's the status that we can achieve. Irrespective of what our status is in this world financially or, statistically, whatever we are, in whatever position we are, we can get to those statuses that people are looking up at us just like the stars. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ أَكْبَرُ دَرَجَاتٍ وَأَكْبَرُ تَفْضِيلًا. So keeping that point in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addressing the Prophet directly and us indirectly. Allah says, لَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرْ فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا. Now you've understood this, that everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not make with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala another God. Do not commit shirk with Him. Otherwise, فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا. You're going to be, again, sitting. Sitting here does not mean literally sitting. It means that you're going to be just hopeless. فَتَقْعُدَ, you're going to sit, مَذْمُومًا, blamed, and مَخْذُولًا, in a state of disgrace in the hereafter, because you're not going to have anything, because shirk is a sin that is not going to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and again, related to the ayat that have just been mentioned about the different statuses of the people of wealth and people that don't have wealth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, مَنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فَاقَةٌ فَأَنزَلَهَا بِالنَّاسِ لَمْ تُسَدَّ فَاقَتُهُ. The person who is afflicted with afaqah, faqah means hunger, desperation, person who doesn't have any money, and he opens his hand to the people, meaning he starts begging from people, his faqah will not be prevented. It will not be stopped. He will get a temporary relief, but he will continue to be in that state of perpetual poverty because he opened his hands in front of people. وَمَنْ أَنزَلَهَا بِاللَّهِ فَيُوشِكُ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِرِزْقٍ عَاجِلٍ أَوْ آجِلٍ. And the person who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him sustenance. Whether that's عَاجِل or آجِل. عَاجِل means immediate or delayed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up rizq and sustenance for that person. So, keeping that point in mind, this last ayah, some scholars would say that Allah is telling us that when you are making somebody else as a god, and instead of asking Allah for rizq and sustenance, you ask that person, then you are basically disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be asking Allah and Allah only. There is a scope for asking people. A person should not ask anybody until he has been afflicted with 3 days of poverty. This is according to hadith. A person should not ask anybody anything, a human being, unless and until 3 days of poverty have passed and he has nothing in his house, then and only then he can beg from people. Otherwise, he's not allowed to beg. This is what Islam teaches us, the dignity that Islam has given us. We should not be undignified in asking other people for our needs. We should ask only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what is meant by this ayah. Do not make with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala another ilah, another one worthy of worship. فَتَقْعُدَ, otherwise you're going to sit in the state of disgrace and blamed and in a state of disgrace. With that we finish. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what is being said and heard. There's another one. Because he...